Good morning and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Just a few announcements before we begin worship together. Our Board of Deacons will be meeting on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. and we'll meet in the annex, so all of those who are active on the board, please plan to attend. We will also have Bible study this week. Wednesday evening will be upstairs in the adult Sunday school classroom in the annex, and we will be live streaming Bible study on the church Facebook page as well at that time, Wednesday at 7 p.m. And I will be sending out a lesson plan today or tomorrow. And just a reminder that if you'd like to send a gift to the church, you can send through the mail. You can use our church website with a credit card, or you can send through the mail to P.O. Box 517 in Port Gibson. Let's be now called to worship with these words. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, when we are in the midst of the storms of life, it is so easy to careen between frantic worry and hopeless despair. But today, help us to come into your presence with the hope and the confidence of children of God. For you are not only our Lord and our King, but you are our Heavenly Father. You are the one who gave up your only Son to save us and to prove your love for us. So hear our prayers and accept our worship for his sake, even as we offer the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your pew Bibles, or if you have your King James Bible, you can follow along or look in your online order of service. We'll be reading Psalm 145 responsively this morning, Psalm 145. This is a prayer of David, and I hope that we'll see how this is similar to the prayer that the Lord teaches his disciples, the Lord's Prayer, which we have heard sung and which we have recited together. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, beginning with verse 1 and ending with verse 21, so I'll begin and end the psalm, and invite the congregation to respond with the even-numbered verses, beginning with verse 2 and ending with verse 20. Let's read this portion of God's Word responsively, Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And now we'll turn in our hymnals to selection 34, and we will sing a song that is based on the psalm that we have just read. So I hope you'll see some of the same ideas in hymn number 34, God My King, Thy Might Confessing. We'll sing all five stanzas, and let us stand to sing. We have read God's word, we have sung God's praise using words inspired by his word. Now let us say what we believe about God using the words of the Apostles' Creed. And they're found inside the front cover of your hymnal or in your online order of service. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And you may be seated. Our minute for mission today, as is probably no surprise to you, is hurricane relief in Louisiana. The hits just keep on coming, don't they? Hurricane Delta plowed into southwest Louisiana, soaking the same area that Hurricane Laura devastated 6 weeks ago. This time, Lake Charles received more flooding than wind, but with hundreds of homes, roofs still covered with tarps, there was little resistance to the rain. Of course, we got to share a little bit of the misery this time. Yesterday morning, 740,000 homes in Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi were without power. Maybe your home is still one of those. But God has blessed us. We are not going to have to make any repairs to our sanctuary on that score. And most of us did not suffer damage to our homes. Many of us have our power back on. So we have an opportunity to express our gratitude to God by giving to help those who are picking up the pieces of their lives once again in southwest Louisiana. Now, First Pres Baton Rouge is spearheading the effort for our presbytery. They have work crews that head to Lake Charles every Wednesday and every Saturday. And this is truly an ecumenical event, an ecumenical affair. They are partnering with First Pres Lake Charles, which is in South Mississippi Presbytery of the PCUSA. Now, First Baton Rouge in our presbytery is collecting supplies to deliver to the area. So you can give supplies if you want to drive down to Lake Charles. But you can also make a monetary gift on their website. You can go to the front page, fpcbr.org, and click where it says Hurricane Relief. And that opens another page where you will find a list of supplies that are needed and also a button where you can donate online. So I encourage all of us to do that, especially as once again we have been spared the worst of yet another storm. So let's be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in southwest Louisiana as they put the pieces back together. And now as we prepare for prayer, we'll take up our hymnals and we'll turn to selection 561, Day by Day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. So whatever our trials may be, we can seek our God's help, and we will prepare to do that in prayer. We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn 561, and let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. And what a wonderful call to prayer we have, that we can trust the Lord no matter what trials we face, no matter what troubles we face. We have no cause for worry or for fear. So with the confidence of children of God, with confidence in the love and power of our Heavenly Father, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, when the storms of life swirl around us, it is so easy for us to give ourselves over to anxiety or fear. But we know, O Lord, that you love us. We know that you love our loved ones. No matter what we're going through, we know that you are willing and that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so we ask, O Lord, we ask for your gracious mercy, for your loving kindness. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless those who are suffering. Father, we often pray for those who are sick and hurting. We have so many of our friends and loved ones who are in the hospital or who are facing medical procedures, those whose bodies are in need of your healing touch, and we do continue to pray for these. But Lord, our thoughts today are drawn westward, to those who have suffered so much from Hurricane Laura and now from Hurricane Delta. Father, have mercy on the people in Lake Charles and surrounding area. Have mercy, O Lord, on those who have lost homes, those who have lost loved ones, those whose businesses have been damaged, those who have lost jobs. And unfortunately, our Father, we have to confess that many have also lost hope. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in prayer for these for whom it has become apparent that they have indeed reached the end of their rope. But our God, we pray that you would use even these terrible winds to blow good into this world. Remind us, O Lord, through these winds that we are not in charge. And help us, Father, to look to you no matter what trouble is going on in our lives. Help us to rely upon you as these in Southwest Louisiana are now having to do. Lord, make us faithful in prayer for all of those in need, and help us to give as those who are grateful that you have spared us the worst of these storms. Father, we ask that as we open your word, you would indeed teach us how to pray, that our prayers might be evermore in line with your good and perfect will, and that thus we might know that we have whatever it is for which we ask. Teach us to pray, O Lord, for we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And that is the passage to which we turn today, the passage that we have heard sung, the passage that we have read together or recited together. It is the Lord's Prayer, and so perhaps you don't even need to turn it up, but it is found in Matthew chapter 6, the verses 9 through 15. And by the way, if any of your non-Presbyterian friends ask you, why do you Presbyterians pray about debts and debtors? You can just tell them, well, it's in the King James Version. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 9 and reading through verse 15. This is the word of the Lord. This is the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thus far, God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it, may he teach us how to pray. Is anyone in charge here? In the light of today's news, that is not an unreasonable question, is it? Our ongoing struggle with COVID is at best months away from its conclusion, and that's if the vaccines and the treatments work as they should, and if the virus does not mutate too much in the meantime. Our federal politicians continue to be at each other's throats. Our federal government has ground to a halt in gridlock. Our presidential candidates are unable to conceal their mutual contempt. We've had so many hurricanes this year that we are well into the Greek alphabet with another month of the season yet to go. Will we have to start on Hebrew next? And all that is on top of the normal struggles of life, handling the daily responsibilities of our jobs or businesses, managing our own sometimes failing health, caring for parents and children and spouses, and of course, grandchildren, and trying desperately to stay sane in the process. Oh no, it is when we are at the end of our rope that the need for prayer becomes obvious. It is in times like these that we should have no problem with Jesus teaching us how to pray. And isn't the beginning of the Lord's Prayer just what we need in scary times like these? For to whom does Jesus teach us to pray? Not to our God, not to our Lord, not to our King, but to our Father. Think about that. The God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, our God is nevertheless the loving Father of all those who have trusted in Christ as Savior, all those who have bowed the knee to him as Lord. Yes, because of the perfect sacrifice of Christ on the cross, all those in Christ have been adopted into God's family. We have not only been washed clean of our sins, we have been made the very sons and daughters of God. That is the first thing Jesus wants us to have on our minds when we go to God in prayer. He doesn't want us to start with fears that we somehow don't measure up to God's standards. He doesn't want us to start with anxieties that all these problems are continuing in our lives. No, he wants us to start with the sure, unshakable truth that God loves us, that God has made us his own. That is good news. That is good news no matter what problems we may face today. But if God is our Father, we also learn that God is in heaven. And that is good news as well. For Jesus is telling us by this fact that God has some serious perspective on all of our problems. Because he exists outside of time, all human history is present tense to God. As Peter teaches us, to God, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. That means nothing catches our God off guard. Moreover, because God can see and understand everything that happens everywhere at once, because he is outside of space as well as outside of time, God knows how all the seemingly chaotic events of our lives fit together. He knows why everything happens the way it does. Even wars, even plagues, even hurricanes are no mystery to our God. So, if having a loving Father is a great comfort for us when we pray, having a Father who is in heaven should give us even more assurance when we approach his throne of grace. But because our Father is in heaven, that not only means he is high and lifted up, separate from space and time, separate from all the problems of this world. He is also separate from sin. He is inalterably opposed to anything that goes against his good and perfect will. He is holy, 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 perfect in his purity, our Father in heaven. And given such a perspective on God, and given such an assurance of his fatherly love, and given such an assurance of his eternal sovereignty, and given such an assurance of his spotless perfection. With that in mind, Jesus teaches us that the first thing that we should ask in prayer, the first thing we should ask God, is that his name would be hallowed, that his name would be treated as holy. What does that mean? Of course, it involves a desire that we ourselves would hallow God's name, that we ourselves would give God the worship and the praise that are his due. But this request also includes a desire that God would bring other people to an understanding of his holiness, an understanding of his power and of his purity, an understanding of his might and his majesty. Wanting God's name to be hallowed means wanting a great multitude of people all over the world, throughout space and time, to give him the respect and the honor that he alone deserves. That's how we should begin our prayers. But that is not how we should end them, because it is not enough for people simply to respect God in this way. It is not enough for people simply to hallow God's name. Take, for example, the possibility, merely hypothetical possibility, that you might be happening to drive a little too fast, coming on Interstate 20 from Monroe to Rayville to Delhi to Tallulah. Now, you know that the Louisiana State Police take a dim view of speeding. And you know that they have the power to stop you and to arrest you. But if you manage to escape detection until you make it across the bridge in Vicksburg, the Louisiana State Police cannot touch you. Now, their power, their principles remain unchanged. They still have their fast cars. They still have their sidearms. But they have no authority over speeders in Mississippi, no matter how fast they may be driving. In the same way, lots of people, from Pharaoh in the time of Moses to Nebuchadnezzar in the time of Daniel to Simon the sorcerer in the days of Peter, all of these were willing to admit that God is powerful. But that did not mean that any of them worshiped the one true God. It did not mean that any of them submitted themselves to his law of love. They recognized God's power. They did not recognize God's authority over them. That is why Jesus next teaches us to pray that God's kingdom would come. That God's kingdom would come. This, of course, refers to our desire that Christ would come again, that Christ would put down all opposition to his righteous rule, that Christ would render perfect justice to all his enemies and make all things new and all things right. But until that day, this desire for God's kingdom to come also expresses a longing that more and more people around the world would not just admit that God is powerful and holy, but that they would recognize his authority over every part of their lives. But even this is not enough. For as we all know, it is possible to admit someone's power and authority and still not obey him. Let's think again about our purely hypothetical motorist. Recently arrived from Louisiana, having escaped the detection of the Louisiana State Police. Now he's heading home on Highway 61. On this side of the river, he knows the Mississippi Highway Patrol has the power and the authority to stop him for speeding. But that knowledge alone is not enough to make him observe the speed limit, is it? I will not ask for any personal testimonies. But the possibility is that our speeder will not slow down until he catches sight of one of their patrol cars. Of course, by then, he may be seeing the blue lights flashing behind him. That is why Jesus teaches us to pray. Not only that God's power and holiness would be acknowledged, not only that his kingdom authority would be recognized, but that his will actually be done. That people all over the world will obey him as freely and eagerly from the heart as the angels do in heaven. Thy will be done. And so, before we move on to the part of the prayer that is frankly the most familiar and the most comfortable to us, let's take a quick peek in the mirror, not this time in the rearview mirror, but in the one that's on the visor, the mirror that allows us to see ourselves. Does this sort of prayer, the prayer that God would be hallowed, that God's authority would be recognized, that God's will would be done, does this sort of prayer, does this sort of humble submission characterize our view of God? Does it characterize our relationship with God? Sure, we love to hear about how God is our loving Father. And it is comforting to meditate on the fact that God knows everything and God is completely in charge of all the circumstances of our lives. And I suppose that we are all as ready to acknowledge his power and authority over us as we are to recognize that of the Mississippi Highway Patrol. But are we any more obedient to his word than we are to the speed limit? Do we submit ourselves to God's will in all things? Are we willing to accept God's timing where it comes to our most urgent requests? Oh, we might think we are. But what about our prayers? What do our prayers reveal about our hearts? Do our prayers call our humility into question? Isn't it easy in the face of, let's admit it, truly urgent problems, isn't it easy to begin our prayers not in verse 9, not with a burning desire for God's glory to be revealed to everyone in the world, but isn't it easier to begin our prayers in verse 11 with pushy pleas for things we need from God? Isn't it all too easy, even when we pray, thus to be focused on the creation rather than the Creator, to be focused on the gifts rather than the giver, to be focused on ourselves rather than on God? God, I want. God, I need. Not, God, may your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. And isn't it easy to be impatient in our prayers? Isn't it easy for us to insist that we know what's best? God, if you would just get on board with the program, all this could be easily fixed. Isn't it easy for us to think that we know what we need and when we need it more than God does? Oh, but when we pray this way, when we stamp into the throne room of grace and insist on our way, is that really humbling ourselves before God's power? Is that really humbling ourselves before God's authority? Is that really submitting to God? Is that really wanting God's will to be done? Or do we just want our way? Thy will be done, Jesus says. Thy will be done, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Is that our prayer? No, it's no wonder. Jesus goes on to teach us how to pray for ourselves. What does he say as he turns this part of the prayer to our needs? How does he teach us to pray for our needs? Give us this day our daily bread. That means just as we are to pray that God's will and not our will be done, we are to pray that God would meet our basic needs. Not that he would satisfy all our desires. And we are to pray this prayer daily. Give us today our daily bread. Not straining forward, not wanting God to give us some sort of a guarantee of his provision for us in the months or the years to come. No. Our prayers should reflect a childlike trust in our loving, powerful Heavenly Father to provide for us, to provide for our loved ones in his way, according to his timetable. Thy will be done. Give us this day what you know we need, God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get to this point in the Lord's Prayer, it's pretty clear to me that my heart is not where it needs to be most of the time. Not only do I get things out of order, often being more concerned with what I want than with God's glory, I'm also not very good at trusting God to take care of all these things I'm praying about. In the midst of this increasingly crazy, mixed-up world, it is so easy for me to give myself over to fear and despair in the face of my weakness, my inability to set things right. It's easy to become frustrated or discouraged. I don't know about you, but it's hard to pray this way. It's hard to be this focused on God. It's hard to be that faithful. And so I suppose it's no accident then that Jesus moves on in verse 12 to our greatest need, not our daily bread. Our greatest need, forgiveness. Forgiveness. We need God to forgive us, Presbyterians, for not paying him our debts. Our debt of love. Our debt of devotion. Our debt of trust. Our debt of obedience. We need to forgive God for not giving him what he deserves. We need to ask God to forgive us, rather, for not giving him what he deserves. But we can pray that prayer. We can ask for God's forgiveness with the same confidence that we can pray for his provision. We can pray that prayer for forgiveness for the same reason, because our all-powerful Heavenly Father loves us. And in his mercy, he has provided the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He has provided an atonement sufficient to cover all the ways in which we have been and all the ways we continue to be out of accord with God's good and perfect will. All the times when we have not prayed, "Thy will be done," but all the times we have prayed, "My will, not thine, be done." God can forgive us for all of that because of the work of Jesus Christ. Praise God. But if Jesus' death covers all the sins we've ever committed, wouldn't his atonement be just as sufficient for God to forgive our enemies' sins as well? If God can forgive us for the ways that we have rejected his will, if God can forgive us for the ways that we have defied his authority, if God can forgive our sins against him, sins that required the Son of God to be crucified, doesn't it make sense for us to extend the same sort of grace to those who have hurt us in much less serious ways? For y'all, no matter how badly any of our enemies may have hurt us, they have only accomplished offending another unworthy sinner. They have not offended the divine majesty of God by hurting us. Their sins against us pale in comparison to our sins against God. And that is why I think Jesus makes this point, this mutual forgiveness, such a clear test of our hearts in those two verses after the Lord's Prayer. It's such a good way to determine if we really are submitting ourselves to our loving Heavenly Father, if we really are submitting ourselves to our Holy Lord and King. For if we are unwilling to extend same grace to others that Christ has shown to us, can we really say that we belong to Christ? Can we really claim that His loving, forgiving, cleansing Spirit lives within us? Oh, we need to pray for God to forgive us, don't we? And given how weak we are, given how prone to sin we remain, it's no wonder that Jesus next in the Lord's Prayer moves on to encourage us to pray that God would keep us away from trials and keep us away from temptations in this life. For even after Christ has forgiven us, even after Christ has washed us clean from sin, isn't it easy? Isn't it easy to slip back into those old, hateful, selfish ways of thinking? Isn't it easy for us to lose sight of our loving Heavenly Father and give ourselves over again to anxiety and fear? Isn't it easy? Isn't it easy to listen to the lies of the evil one? Isn't it easy to resist the will of our Almighty King by refusing to love others and forgive others in the same self-sacrificial, unconditional way that Christ has loved and forgiven us? And that's why Jesus ends his prayer the way that he does, with perspective. For if he begins the Lord's Prayer by us needing to get our focus right, if he begins the Lord's Prayer by telling us to remember that God is our loving Heavenly Father, that God is our all-seeing, all-knowing Almighty King, then the end of this prayer reminds us of these great truths as it tells us why we should pray. Why should we pray? That's obvious, right? No, it's not. For no matter how urgent our worldly needs may be, no matter how urgent the needs of our loved ones may be, no matter how great our need is for cleansing from our sin, no matter how great our need is for protection from temptation in the future, at the end of the day, neither our prayer nor our life is about us. It's not even about our loved ones. No, the reason we pray to God is because He is the focus. He is the reason for all of life. That is why, as we close in prayer, we should come back to the beginning, acknowledging that God is the one who is King, not us. God is the one who has all power, not us. And that is why God deserves all the glory. Even for faithful prayers that we pray, even for faithful works that we do, the reason for our living, the reason for our praying, the reason for our working is that we might bless the Lord and bring Him glory. So let's do that as we take up our hymnals. We turn to selection 22, a hymn that encourages us to stand up and bless the Lord. Now, we'll sing this to a little more familiar tune, the tune of We Give Thee But Thine Own. But we'll sing all five stanzas of hymn 22. You also find the words in your online order of service. So let us stand to sing. May we bless the Lord's name. May we bless Him with our prayers. May we bless Him with our works. May we bless Him as we seek to love and to forgive all those unworthy sinners like us in need of God's grace. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.